Well, the debate about this issue today is classic Western conflict. You've got public land access versus private property rights. There's a lot of people who go, yes, public land access, we need that. Yes, private property rights, we need that as well. So what we need is a solution here to our corner crossing issue. What is this? This is the practice of stepping from one parcel of public land at the corners, at the shared corners, to another parcel of public land that never touches private land. But supporters argue a person never physically touches the private land, so it's not trespassing. Opponents argue that private property rights continue to be a focus in this. Airspace and the infringement on private property rights as well. A lot of things to kind of parse through here, but solution-oriented is our guest today, FWP Director Christy Clark. A bit later on, I'm going to say solutions-oriented as well, is Democrat Josh Sechinger, who has introduced some legislation regarding this. We've got corner crossings on the plate today on Voices of Montana. But there is an issue here regarding corner crossings, as I kind of laid out. We'll just get right into it. As I mentioned later on, Josh Sechinger will join us. He's a representative for House District 62, a Democrat based out of Gallatin Valley as well. He's also an outfitter and guide. So, you know, he's one of those who's going to say corner crossings are legal. Christy Clark joins us first, though, director of the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department, and then how big that is and how often. I mean, there's so much on your plate, an awful lot, like bears, wolves, the hunting seasons, the fishing regulations, and then corner crossings as well. Good morning, Director Clark. How are you, Christy?
Good morning, Tom. I'm great. Pleasure to be with you this morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
Are you still a kid at heart?
I'm always a kid at heart. Yes, my saying is never grow up.
I like it. 871,000 acres of corner locked public land in Montana. That's an awful lot, right? And I'm not sure to say opponents or proponents, but there are those who would say that those acres are otherwise inaccessible, completely inaccessible. Private rights and public access. What's the stance?
Two profoundly important values to Montana. I mean, private property rights, that's the foundation of Montana, right? Big ag state, 65% of our land is still privately owned. And then you have public access. I mean, that's the foundation of our heritage in Montana. That's what people love about Montana. So when those two values knock up against each other, you know, we're going to have some conflict. There's a lawsuit recently filed against Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks saying that, you know, FWP still considers corner crossing unlawful, even in spite of the 10th Circuit Court decision that does not apply to Montana. So I mean, you know, lawsuits, that's one approach. But what I've done, Tom, is I wanted to change the temperature in the room. Let's bring it down. You know, Montanans are great about coming together and finding solutions. And so we have a council. It's called the Private Land Public Wildlife Council, PLPW. They're meeting today. And I've tasked them with, can you find us a solution? Can you bring some suggestions? That is the whole point of why this council was sanctioned by the legislature in 1993. And so when FWP finds themselves, you know, in areas where they're sticky, that not that there's ever anything controversy at FWP, but when we find ourselves facing some really sticky issues, we turn to PLPW and say, hey, why don't you guys take this up? Put it on your agenda. Come up with some ideas. There's 13 diverse voices on that council. And so they're meeting today. I kicked off their meeting this morning. I'm in Boise, by the way, at the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies. So I'm with my other counterparts across the Western United States. Lots of good conversations here too, but not so much talk about corner crossings here. But anyway, PLPW is meeting today. They're taking public comment and they're taking this very seriously. I mean, I think we all would like to find a solution that doesn't involve expensive lawyers and, you know, it's a long game.
Yeah.
You know, lawsuits are a long game.
What's legitimate on both sides of the argument here? And maybe I can frame that a little bit further, but does private land actually get damaged in a circumstance like this? How tight would legislation be to maybe solve this issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, in the 13th legislative session, a corner crossing bill came up and it didn't pass. So it's not, it's nothing new to the legislature to look at, you know, legislative options. And I would certainly invite, you know, if there are good solutions out there for the legislature to tackle these, I think I would rather see people come together and say, you know what, this makes sense. Maybe there's some ground here where corner crossings make sense. We also have a suite of access programs, so many different ways for landowners to engage in access. We have block management. We have unlocking public lands. That was actually a program that is specifically set to address, you know, swaths of land that could open up more public access. We have conservation easements. Those have opened up hundreds of thousands of acres of public lands. And so we are already seeking all of those opportunities and engaging with private landowners as much as we can, as much as they're willing to. And then, you know, there's just a lot of those private landowners that just organically will offer up, you know, to let people cross. And that's what I say. If you want to cross the corner, ask, just ask, you know?
Well, and that's a very common and simple, I think, process that people would rather not do at times. You know, are these parcels completely inaccessible? I mean, what's the magnitude of this problem? And I can see if you go to some of those maps that you note, and you guys do, FWP does do a great job, I think, of trying to get people information so that they know they're in the right place at the right time. And there's a lot of tools out there. Are those parcels completely inaccessible?
Well, they're inaccessible if they're surrounded by private land that doesn't allow public access. Then yes, that is the case. They're also restricted to federal lands. This doesn't apply to state lands. So yeah, they can be inaccessible, like I said, if they are surrounded by private land.
Kristy Clark is with us, director of the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department. Did serve as our ag director as well for the state of Montana previously to this, and a number of years previously to in the legislature. I'm going to, we got a phone call in here, Kristy, and you'll know this gentleman, Dave from Galata, a friend of the program as well. We can give his last name, but it's good to have a producer come on and talk about some of these concerns. And so, Dave, I'm glad you called. I hope you're doing well. You're on the air here with the FWP Director Kristy Clark.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. It's currently raining, and we've taken a 3-day prayer week, thanking the powers that be for the moisture that we've received the last 4 days. So,
hallelujah! Yes,
yeah. No, it's a godsend for sure. They talk about the $1 million rain. This was the $1 billion rain.
I'll darn it!
Absolutely.
Corner crossings. I sent my representative to Glasgow for the public. The council and that they're meeting in Glasgow. As a producer for corner crossings, whatever decided will be. The problem I have as a producer is the burden of administration of this rule will be on the property owner. FWP can say, well, we have wardens to make sure that everybody's doing the right thing. That isn't going to happen. This is practicality talking. Sheriff's departments don't want any part of this. So the heavy is going to be the landowner. And I think we're going to create some problems that are unbelievable. And we're going to get a wedge drove between public access and private land ownership.
What kind of problems, Dave? What do you see?
Just an animosity, irregardless of the stereotype of whatever people come up with as sportsmen. There's a few sportsmen that still pull in your yard, lay a map on the hood of the pickup and say, I want to hunt this BLM right here. Well, good for you. And that's a really poor attitude to show up, or the state section or whatever. And they show up and they said, this is our right to hunt this, and we want to know where it's at and where we're going. Well, it's not my job to show them that. and it's not my job to allow them access by any means. And when they come with an attitude like that, and they do, it sets up a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And those kinds of things happen. We're still having problems with block management as far as the management goes. I don't know how many people have said when you find them off of block management, well, I thought I was on block management. Well, you thought wrong. And there's nobody to administrate these things. And the corner crossing is going to end up in the same bucket if and when it goes through, no matter how it goes. We have people that come out on state section, and they really don't know they're on state section. They don't know where they're at. And the only one that's going to administrate that is the landowner, and he shouldn't have to. And this is going to be an issue.
Dave, I appreciate that. Let's see. Christy, I mean, those are good points, right? We don't want to put the burden for administration of this. And administration may mean a lot of things as well. You know, just a lot of people knocking on the door, too. But getting out there and making sure that all of the sportsmen are acting with good intentions. How do we take this administration burden off of the landowner?
Well, I mean, I appreciate our landowners so much and the voluntary programs that they already sign up for. Block management is, you know, it's one of our most popular programs. But I mean, I'll tell you, you know, we've lost some landowners, and I go visit with them and ask them why they've taken their land out of block management. And they talk about hunter fatigue. And so we have increased our access managers, tried to get more people on the ground, boots on the ground to help, you know, the landowners during seasons. When they have their land enrolled in the public access programs. There's only so much we can do as FWP, but I certainly am sympathetic. The other piece of that is, you know, during this hunting season, I got a call from a landowner, and she said, you know, people think corner crossing is legal now because of that 10th Circuit Court decision. And she said, I have people cutting, you know, swaths through my field. And I stopped them, and they said, well, these are corners. I'm corner crossing. And they don't understand that, you know, that is not corner crossing, not to mention it's not legal in Montana. And so there is a lot of confusion. I mean, we need to do a better job educating sportsmen. Sportsmen's organizations need to do a better job of maybe educating their members as well about, you know, what it really means. And it's, I mean, unfortunately, we ask a lot of our landowners already. And most of it, I just have to say, most of the time, it works well in Montana. I mean, people are pretty generous about allowing access and signing up for these programs. And so I have a real sense of gratitude towards our landowners and appreciate everything they do. And it's certainly not, I mean, it certainly would be regretful if this added more to their plate. But it's already added, you know, an acrimonious, kind of an acrimonious tone to the conversation. And that's why we're trying to get people to come up with solutions that can maybe assist the landowners in providing that access. You know, whether we need to enhance some of our access programs, I'm not sure, but I mean, I don't want to just sit on my hands and say, well, we'll see what the courts say. Yeah. I mean, I want to continue to seek solutions, but I do appreciate Dave's comments.
Hey, Dave, I think most of your friends would say you're a reasonable guy. do you have a solution maybe outside of making them illegal? And if that's what you want, that's fine as well. Do you have some ideas about what might work for landowners? You know, that doesn't create the animosity and doesn't put that burden on you?
You know, we go back to, okay, if, and I've eliminated my issues with corners and adjacent state property through another program. But if we go back and say, okay, this is the access point, and it's clearly marked, and this is what I want you to do. Seems like the simplest solution. But that solution still puts the burden on the landowner. And now he's a people manager besides everything else he gets to manage. And when something goes awry, we need some type of enforcement process. And we don't have that enforcement process in place. Do we need more game wardens? I'm going to go behind the door and say no. Does the county sheriff have time to enforce this? No. And they don't want to. It's a tough scenario. It's really a tough scenario. People have paid a ton of money to have legal people come in and find property lines because the public felt that this was a legal access point, just find out that they were wrong. But the guy still, it cost him a bunch of money to find these spots because he was tired of the public abusing the access that they felt was theirs to begin with. So what's the solution? I don't know.
Well, and that's, yeah. And there'll be some ideas coming out here as well. Dave, thanks. I appreciate you listening an awful lot. Appreciate you being a friend of the program and being a great Montana producer up there in Galata as well. And I'm glad you're getting rain, dude.
We're just, nothing can go wrong today.
that's good. I love that. Yeah. You're not close to flooding, are you?
Oh, no, we're at the top of the hill. It's not our problem.
Okay.
Everything's downhill.
thanks, Dave. I hope to run into you soon this summer, okay?
Thank you. You bet, Tom.
Yeah. Christy, I mean, there's a great conversation there. I appreciate that an awful lot. You got to do a lot of education about it, too. But you're also going to have maybe draw some lines in the sand. And that is where courts get involved and things like that. And this goes back, obviously, to 19th century railroad land grants. And as Dave had noted, maybe you go into that a little bit. There are other solutions out there, conservation easements. Do you think that's a big part of this, is trying to get rid of that checkerboard system we have?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, and that's what I'm hoping the PLPW Council will maybe come up with some solutions. I mentioned unlocking public lands. That's an access program that we have at FWP that is underutilized. And part of it is just because the incentive is pretty low. It's just a tax credit. So I think there's some systems that we can work with. And I'm also hoping, Tom, I'm hoping there's something we haven't thought of. I mean, maybe there's something in other states that has worked well that somebody is aware of and have some ideas. I think what I want to do most of all is I just want to change the conversation. I hate to see landowners and sportsmen pitted against each other. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's just not the Montana way. The Montana way is we come together. And like I said, I feel really blessed that we have private property owners that are very generous. And they truly do love to see a kid go shoot his first deer on their place, or, you know, let the guy take his kids fishing, you know. Yeah, hop in here. There's a good fishing hole down here. You want to see your kids, you know, catch some fish. I feel so blessed that, you know, in Montana, we do have great landowners. So I hate that, you know, we're now knocking heads with sportsmen and private property owners. And we're just asking, you know, is there some, I think there's in the middle ground, I think there's a lot to be mined. I think we can find some solutions. This litigation will take years. And but in the meantime, let's take the temperature down. Let's not fight about this and knock heads for years while the courts sort it out. Let's get creative and let's work together and let's really focus on some solutions. And let's try to take the burden off the landowners and just say, yeah, we appreciate it. How can we help you? You know,
and that would be ideal, right? But there's been a court case, 10th Circuit Court, that has declared that corner crossings are legal. The Supreme Court has let that issue alone. So that's the law of the land in those states, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, Kansas, Montana's in the Ninth Circuit. How much does that decision play on solutions going forward?
Well, that doesn't, that's out of Montana's jurisdiction. And so that doesn't impact Montana. It's just raised the issue and it's brought a lot more attention to it. And that's why I think we find ourselves in this situation where that the corner crossings now, you know, dropped in our lap and, you know, expecting, well, and like I said, courts, the courts, you know, litigation is one way to sort it out.
And the issue might come to a head in this legislature as well. How would you like to see that processed?
Well, I think, you know, legislation is always an option. And at the end of EQC, it's Environmental Quality Council, that is the interim legislative committee that Fish, Wildlife, and Parks answers to. And the lieutenant governor gave a presentation. You know, she's a property law professor from the University of Montana. Lieutenant governor was pretty fortunate that way, but she gave a presentation to EQC on corner crossing. Very informative, very interesting. And at the end of that, and I was there with her, they asked, you know, if you have solutions, can you bring them to EQC? EQC would carry the bill, so they can bring an interim committee bill. So they are seeking solutions, and I don't have the answers right now. I'm hoping PLPW will come up with some great ideas, and we can take those to EQC and ask them, like, do you want to carry this as the, you know, as a committee bill? And that a committee bill tends to have a little more legs than just a single legislator. So those are the types of solutions that we are primed for, you know, perfect time. Today's a primary, right? Like mm-hmm. we've all forgotten that, well, if you've been to the mailbox lately, nobody's forgotten that we're in primary season, but we'll be going into a legislative session in January. So perfect opportunity to find a solution.
Christy, I appreciate your time and the focus on this issue as well. And especially that, you know, that approach that let's not rush into opposite sides here in far corners. Let's keep this middle open and still look and see where we can find commonality.
Yeah. I hate to see these two super important issues knockheads. I hate to see sportsmen pitted against private property owners. It's all so important to Montana and this could be for years. And I just hope that we can take that temperature down a little bit in the room and remember that, you know, there's a lot more that unites us than what divides us.
Good job. I appreciate it. Christy Clark, FWP director. Have yourself a dang good summer. Okay, ma'am.
Well, thank you. You too, Tom. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. We'll chat with you down the road too. I know.
Yes, we will.
Corner crossings, the topic here today. I think a lot of people know what that is, but maybe not intuitively. We have a patchwork system of private and public lands. Some of it's fed, and the corner crossings, the ones that are court-related, only relate to the federal lands, not the state of Montana. But, you know, that's part of the process here as well, where folks who are either outdoor recreating or hunting will take a step across from one public parcel to another public parcel at the corner. There's been a case out of Wyoming, 10th Circuit Court, that decided this for that jurisdiction, that those states do not include Montana, and it's federal lands. It's not all state lands as well. We pick up this issue now with Josh Seckinger. Representative Seckinger is out of Gallatin County. I should have my bio right in front of me. It's 62, isn't it? House District 62, Josh?
That's it. House District 62 on the west side of Bozeman.
All right. Beautiful land, beautiful country, mostly a fishing guide as well. And thanks for coming on. I appreciate that. And trying to tackle this issue, right? I think as you heard Director Clark and then Dave from Galata talk about as well, it's a concern in some key areas. But, you know, Christy is saying, you know, if we can keep this out of the courts and come to some kind of solution here that works for the landowner and also, you know, the recreator, let's pursue that. What's your take? Why don't you define this issue from those people who are supporting corner crossing as legal?
You know, first and foremost, thanks for having me on, Tom. And I think maybe a lot of your listeners will be surprised to hear that I agree with Christy on a lot of this. You know, wrapping this in the courts for the next 5 years is not the solution. Pitting landowners against hunters is not the solution. And I do think there's a middle ground somewhere where we can unlock these 871,000 acres while not angering everyone on both sides. You know, right now, to me, the current state of affairs is you take your checkerboard, you put your checkers on the checkerboard, and then you say, okay, game over. Nobody's allowed to move. That's what this is akin to. That's how you cross the corner. What Christy was talking about, where someone cuts a swath through a field, that's trespassing. Plain and simple. I'm not a person who believes that, you know, that crossing private property to access public land without landowner permission is acceptable. This crossing at the corner is a different thing, and it requires a lot from the person doing the corner crossing. You have to be at the corner, period. If you're not at the corner, you are trespassing. So, I mean, I think the fundamental issues, it goes back to the 871,000 acres that are inaccessible to the public. And how do we open that up? How do we get the people who own that land, quite frankly, the public, on their land? And I just want to briefly call out that I introduced and passed a bill in the last session, HB 763, that it added a component to the block management program that would compensate landowners to allow access to these corner locked parcels. And that bill passed 48-2 in the Senate and 99-1 in the House.
The governor signed it?
There is a program. The governor did sign it.
Okay.
It's law. But it's my understanding that there's no one enrolled in this program. Mm-hmm. So there is a way right now to open up some of this land with compensation to the landowners. But it's not being utilized as of yet.
You heard Dave from Galata, a producer and friend of the program as well. You heard his comments, right? It's on the landowner then to administer this and to make sure he's got to police his land, which he does anyway. But, you know, this invites more and more hunters, and the potential for trespassing increases as well. And it's something that he's got to be mindful of as a manager of his lands. Do you think that there are solutions that will address the administration burden that he's talking about?
Well, this bill I passed would pay him $25,000. I hope that would help. But beyond that, it's all the talk of enforcement is critical. Yes. You know, I do think if we come to a legislative solution that takes us out of this seemingly legal gray area, and it says this is legal and this is not, then, to Dave's point, you would have the sheriff and the county attorney more willing to get involved. You know, and it in my opinion, would take the burden off of producers and put it on the legal system. And because right now they don't want to get involved because this is... The Wyoming case shows us that when they do get involved, if they find a jury that will convict, it could be a 4 or 5 year process. If we clarify the language around corner crossing specifically, I think you would see the county sheriff and county attorney much more willing to get involved.
Yeah, that makes some sense. If the legality is a little more clear, as you noted, and less questionable, then they know that then there's a path for them, to follow.
Right.
Yeah. Darren's been standing by. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Not to interrupt you, but they can point to a piece of the code that says this is legal, this is not.
Yeah.
Right now they're interpreting a bunch of different pieces of code to try to get to that conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. Yeah. Like at the minute you spoke it, I can see that hesitation from, you know, a sheriff's standpoint, regarding that too. But nonetheless, I mean, trespassing is still a crime. And so there's got to be an avenue for it. Darren's been standing by, listening in Helen on KCAP. It's good to have you along, Darren. Thanks for holding on here too. What are your thoughts on this?
I just had a comment on the landlocked state lands around the state. There's tons of that. And, you know, half a century of being in the woods, I've witnessed a lot of landowners using the state lands as grazing, selling timber sales off of them, outfitting off of them even. And they're using it, and no one else can have access to it. And I'm just kind of curious where everything's at with the checkerboard landlocked state lands on all that. And I kind of feel the solution to policing land would be technology, you know, the trail cams and that. I'm just kind of throwing those couple things out there, Frank.
Good stuff, Darren. Thanks for that. Josh, thoughts about that? Some outfitters, and Darren, I think, is completely right about it. And you can probably point to that, too. You know, if they've got a land ownership contract, they want to not have hunters on that public property because they feel that's going to improve their business opportunities. And I think it's natural. It really is. But the methods that they use to keep other people off of public land is questionable, as Darren's pointing out. And will technology help, Josh?
I think it would. You know, I think what Darren's talking about are the school trust lands that are geographically isolated, and often surrounded by private property. And if you have access to the private, you have access to that school trust land. That's a tough nut to crack because often there aren't corners to cross to get onto those. But I do get what he's saying wholeheartedly. And yeah, technology could easily be used in this, to solve this problem. I don't think it's necessary. You know, from my perspective, what we're trying to do is clear up the legal gray area so that it's black and white. Either you're trespassing or you're not. I don't necessarily think you need a technological solution to figure that out. And if a landowner is sitting on their couch and they look out and they see you trespassing, they call the sheriff. That should be the end of it. So I'm kind of the opinion that this isn't a costly solution. The state doesn't need to spend a ton of money to open up this acreage to the public. But I might be alone in that.
So. Well, no, I think it doesn't have to be that. And that's up to us to not let it get out of hand, if we can help in a lot of ways. With us is Representative Josh Seckinger, again, House District 62 out of the Gallatin County area. He is mostly a fishing guide. We'll do some outfitting as well, and has carried some legislation to make funding available, a component to the block management program as well. Josh, I got a text message here too, but did that bill fund that program, or was that left up to the forces that be?
It's part of the greater block management program. So Funding within the block management program funds that program. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the text message. Josh, what do we do about private GPS and mapping companies that offer sportsmen monthly subscriptions to their apps, but do not have accurate property lines on the maps the sportsmen are looking at on their phones? Should sportsmen be using the Montana Cadastral? By the way, Darren, thank you for listening, and thanks for that call. But there's something from Andy, a colleague of ours here.
I think that's a great point of all of within this whole conversation is that we're, as sportsmen, we're often relying on these GPS. And they get pretty dang close, and they source their data from the cadastral. But, you know, the cadastral is updated daily, and these private ones may not be. So that's where it gets tricky. If I'm a firm believer that if you are not at the corner, crossing the corner, you are trespassing, period. Mm. Now, how do we solve that problem? You know, I have some crazy ideas that I'd rather not share with the entire state.
Right now, yeah, but, gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, in Wyoming, at least, there are pens, and that some of the pens have been removed. You know, the corner that the hunters crossed in the Iron Bar case, very well marked, very well easy to see. I've been there. I crossed it myself after the case was settled.
Oh.
You know, it's pretty simple at that corner. I understand not all corners are that simple. And is it a situation where I understand this is putting a potential burden on the landowner, and Dave is going to be mad at me for saying this. Do we need to go paint a rock orange and put it on the corner so that everyone sees where the corner is? You know, if you can identify the corner, you can cross it pretty easily.
It's not.
If you can't identify the corner and you're reliant on these GPS apps, you might be off by 3 feet and you're going to get cited for trespassing.
You know, and it's not a crazy idea to do that. I think, no. but it takes some cooperation.
It does. I wholeheartedly agree.
Do we have enough cooperation out there, or are we getting farther and farther apart in our ideals about public land and private property rights?
I don't quite know. I mean, mm-hmm. Tom, I represent a district that doesn't have an inch of public land in it. And when my constituents go to recreate, they leave this district, you know, and they come home at night, but I don't represent any producers.
Gotcha.
I would love to have conversations with them on how to get to a point where we can solve this issue in a way that works for everyone. And I think based on conversations with my colleagues in the legislature, I am not alone in this sentiment, and it's not a partisan issue.
Yeah.
You know, this issue is crossing party lines. I'm hearing solutions from my colleagues on the other side of the aisle that are intriguing.
Yeah, and that's good to hear, Josh. It really is. I mean, and I think that's Montana. We do it better than anybody out there. So thanks for coming on. Thanks for being solution-oriented about this as well. I appreciate that. And we'll have you back on because I'm sure, you know, good luck, you know, in November. I'm sure this issue will surface again, so I'd love to hear from you more, Josh. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. Happy primary day, everyone.
Yep, get out there and vote, folks. Josh Schechinger, a seconder, is on the ballot.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.